Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday to you. TGIF, glad to be here with you. It's Albrock and Gester. It is, it's a busy day. It's a fun day. Unless you're a Thunder fan, not so fun. Game one in the books of the NBA Finals. Royals fans feeling, I think, pretty good today. Steelers fans, are you feeling good? There are probably not a lot of you out there. Welcome in. Tommy Gester alongside me, Max Power Producing. He's got the phone lines, 869-1240. You can leave your video comments on anything we're talking about or anything you'd like via Facebook, YouTube, X. You can also watch us on 12 News Connected, thanks to those who are. And you can listen to us on anytime on the Odyssey app, live or in podcast form. So thanks for being here with us. We'll give away a little Crestview Golf later today. That first winner for June will be picked. Round four, two, including a card out at Crestview Country Club. We'll tell you how to enter that one final day this week a little bit later in the show as well. We'll give away some HTO. How are you this morning, Tommy?
I'm good. Happy Friday. I'm a lot better than Thunder fans out there, that's for sure, after last night. But looking forward to getting into it. We've got a busy day on tap.
Yeah, it was a wild one. Halliburton does it again. Here come the Pacers. And you know what? I think we're going to get our series that we'd hoped for, at least based on game one. It looked for a minute there like we weren't going to. But that Pacers do what the Pacers have been doing, and that's shocking the world with late-game heroics. They get it done against the team that had done a little of that themselves, and we move on. The Royals get a split. Could have been a sweep. They let one go in extra innings. Man, I've really grown thin on the Ghost Runner thing, Tommy, as I watch these games. I'm like, this, I get it. I don't hate it. But at the same time, I'm just like, man, this doesn't, like, it's not the real. I just feel bad for the relief pitchers because it throws everybody out of like what their job would be. And I don't know. I don't hate it.
I love it.
But I don't like
it.
I hope they
never take it away. I love the Ghost Runner because it starts every half inning with excitement and drama. You've got that as you begin every single half inning in extras. Whereas I know in a tie game, no outs, nobody on base. Yeah, it's going to be higher drama in extra innings than in the third inning. But when you already start off the inning with a runner on second base, it just jumps up that excitement level. So I'm in for it. I loved it when they implemented it. I hope they never take it away.
maybe throw out the stats then for the relief pitchers.
That's fine. Yeah, that's okay.
You know, I don't know. The other thing that I think bothers me about it is we do something different in the postseason. Like, if you know what I mean, like it's great, but we're not going to do it in the postseason because it's why? Why don't we do it in the postseason then? Do you think? Do you think we should?
For consistency's sake, yeah. I mean, I think that's I'm fine with that. It doesn't really, I don't know. I don't think that much about it at this point. It's kind of a non-factor to me.
I think the reason we don't do it in the postseason is because it doesn't give us like the truest outcome. That's
here's the
to.
Issue.
And again,
here's the issue.
I love the idea.
I think that by and large, the majority of people love it when it works for their team. They hate it when it doesn't work for their team. So knowing it's like, you know what, like that kind of cancels each other out. And so the whole purpose of it is to speed games up so you don't have games going into the 18th and 19th inning. If you cancel all of that out, if you cancel out the fact that teams that are benefiting from it love it, and when they don't benefit from it, they hate it, cancel all that out. The whole purpose and reason for it, I think, is valid and legitimate. I'm totally okay with it.
So here's where I think I've landed with it, because I was fine with the idea. I loved like trying it out when we were so focused on speeding up the game. I think the reason it's grown and worn thin for me is because we've sped the game up so much and done such a great job. I don't think we need to do that anymore, right? Like, games are done. Like, games never go 3 hours. So I think now that we've reached this point in regulation, having a game go deep into like late, super late extra innings isn't that big a deal anymore. Whereas when they started this thing, that was the biggest deal. I think so. I don't know. I'd be curious to revisit it and see what like teams think about it and baseball thinks about it and owners think about it and everybody thinks about it. I think it's worth taking a look at because I think they've done such a good job everywhere else with the pitch count and the, you know, the no more shifting and all the things that they've done to, you know, to try and speed things up is worth a look. Anyway, it's just a very side note. The Royals get the split on the day night doubleheader. And look, they score runs in the games to do it, Tommy. We asked for three straight games of 4 runs or more. Maybe it's the Cags effect, but boom, they get it right out of the gates. And Vinny Pasquantino looks fantastic lately. Bobby Witt Jr. is heating up. Mikel Garcia is an all-star at this point, I think. Like, it's going well. So we'll get into all of that with the Royals as we make our way through. College World Series on the softball side, another thriller last night. Texas Tech extends it to a third and decisive game. I haven't had the ability to like get to it directly yet. I've been chasing kids every night this week, but man, going back to it, I feel like that's the thing to be watching right now is that softball series. It's been so good so far between those two teams. So there's a lot there. There's a lot. That was a busy sports night, and you had to make some tough decisions last night. I mostly watched the Royals. I'm a baseball guy, and they got the win. An exciting win in the second one, a frustrating loss in the first one, an exciting win in the second one, and we make our way through a Thursday night. Nice little Thursday evening there in sports watching.
I'm a little better than you and I were texting about it yesterday. I'm a Braves fan. They are reeling right now. I think they've lost 7 in a row. They were up like 10-3 against the Diamondbacks at home in the finale, trying to get one from them, and then they give up like 7 or 8 straight runs, and they lose 11-10 in the ninth inning against the Diamondbacks. That was rough. That was a bad way to start off the day. I had that game. That game started at like 11:15 a.m. our time, so I was able to watch a majority of it before the Royals and Cardinals first game started, and then I, you know, flipped over to the Royals, and I'm like, oh yeah, the Braves have got this in hand, and then I get the notification that they blow that big lead. So not a great way to start things off as far as my baseball watching was concerned. Then the Royals, you know, fall in the opener, kind of in the same way. They kind of have a little bit of a collapse. Luckily, they were able to get it done last night. Otherwise, it would have been a rough night of baseball watching for me.
Well, we got to talk about why it collapsed in the first one, because it's becoming a problem as we get some news on one of the relievers they've been waiting on and all of these things. We kind of touched on it yesterday, and it was interesting timing because it really just stared at us in the face Your Braves are struggling. My Rangers also struggling a bit. They were just swept. They're five games below 500 now. And thank goodness we have the Royals. Yeah. We need the Royals to.
We need something. That's for sure.
To stay in there, because pretty soon it's all baseball. Like, none of this other stuff is even happening. So we'll get to all of it today, and we'll start with the Royals and what happened yesterday. And I think we got to start having the discussion about the bullpen, because it has been a little rockier lately. And as we're talking about trades and all of these things, we'll give it a good look. All right, we'll give you the news of the day as far as the bullpen goes, and take a look back at the doubleheader and look ahead to the weekend series. One that, hey, let's be greedy here. They need to sweep this series, even on the road. We'll do that next on Sports Daily.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you. We are talking Royals out of the gates here. A doubleheader yesterday. A doubleheader that they take care of. You know, a lost opportunity, maybe. They lose the first one in extras, but they blew a lead. Then they came back, and I don't know if it was a lost opportunity. They got it done in the second game that was also very close. I think the first thing that jumps out to us, Tommy, is the offense appears to be waking up a little bit. And yes, it's only three games, but we've said it before. There was only one other time this year where this team scored four runs or more, three games in a row, and it was against the Rockies. So, yeah, I get it, but that's a big sign for this team. They haven't done that basically all year long. So to see it is good. I think for me, that's where to start. The offense appears to be picking it up a little bit. I think right now it's led by Vinny Pasquantino, who was 4-5 in the first game, had another hit in the second game. Salvador Perez had four hits yesterday. Bobby Witt Jr. Only had two hits, but he was active out there. And then Mikel Garcia in that three hole. That was sort of the lineup change before the series. That looks like a good spot for him. We liked it. We liked putting him in three hole, and it looks like it has bridged a gap and done a really nice job.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally on board with all of that with the lineup, and I feel like, of course, Vinny looked fantastic, especially in that opening game. I do want to go back to something that you mentioned. You don't feel like the loss in game one was a missed opportunity. Noah Cameron was stellar. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was fantastic, and the Royals pulled him. I think he'd only thrown 82 pitches. And they pulled him, and the bullpen obviously was an issue, and they collapsed late in the game and all of that. They squandered another phenomenal outing by the rookie Cameron.
Yeah, sorry, I should have clarified my point on that one is they squandered it, then they came back, right? So then they sort of erased squandering his lead, and then you got into the extra inning thing, and so. Yeah, had they not come back, I don't think in the ninth and sent that to extra innings, I would have felt much worse about it. But they sort of made up for blowing the Noah Cameron part because they took a lead into the whatever inning that was, bottom of the 10th. So that's all I was saying on that. Yeah, they shouldn't have blown the original lead to begin with, but they did come back.
I'm not sure they should have pulled Cameron when they did. I mean, I understand that they want to protect him and he's a rookie and all of that. He's shown that he can pitch deep into games. He had one inning where I think he had 25 pitches. Other than that, he was incredibly efficient. Only 82 pitches in the innings that he pitched yesterday. I would have left him out there, at least to work into another inning. I don't know if he would have gotten through that inning necessarily, but at least send him back out there to continue to pitch. The pitch count wasn't very high.
Yeah, he has not pitched into the seventh inning yet. He has pitched into the sixth in every start, and they have let him start the seventh inning in every other start that he's made so far. That was his fifth start yesterday. I'm not sure what went into that decision, but it brings up the bigger point from yesterday. So yes, we feel good about the offense, and we'll get to Jack Caglione in a minute, but man, the bullpen is starting to unravel, and it's not even so much that guys aren't like they don't. The Ursig's out. Harvey's still hurt. What was the news yesterday? Harvey's been placed
on the 60-day IL. It's retroactive, so I'm not sure how far back it goes. But no, he's on the 60-day now.
Now they gave him a great performance. I will say in the second game, they were pretty bad in the first game, and then gave him a great performance in the second game. Schreiber, who you had counted on to sort of be one of your lockdown guys, has not been that lately at all. Daniel Lynch has not been as good as he was early in the year, although he's still hanging in there. He's allowing a lot of traffic. I don't know how sustainable that is. He did give up a run yesterday. I'm not going to say anything about Clark, who was the one who actually blew the save, because he's been really good this year. And then Bolin, I don't know. Estevez had the unfortunate circumstance of the extra inning. So I'm not too worried about that because he looked great in the second game. Zerpa gave him some good innings and Cruz. So they've got guys. I just don't know that they have it clearly defined right now like they did with Ursig. And because right now, if I asked you who is your bridge to Estevez? Who are the two guys right now?
I mean, it's probably Lynch number one. I guess
135 whip.
That's probably, I mean, I'm not saying it's they're great. I'm just, you're asking me who it is. It's right, probably that, Lynch and it's probably Schreiber. I would think would probably be the two.
Who are two, you know, they've been a little shaky and that's, yeah. These other guys have been good, but are they ready to now be like thrust into this more high leverage role? I don't know. I mean, Zerpa's not. Zerpa's fine. Zerpa can help you in a game like yesterday.
You know what you're going to get with Zerpa. Like Zerpa is who he is. You know what you're going to get with him.
If Reagan's continues to struggle, you're going to need a guy like Zerpa, and that's fine. But he's not. You're not all of a sudden taking him back to the role they envisioned at the beginning of the year, which is one of your leverage guys.
And he was good yesterday. He was good last night in relief of Reagan's.
He did a really nice job, and he pitched him three innings. Yeah. Which is why you like Zerpa. It's like, you know what? We're going to give you three innings today. How's that sound? Oh, good. It's kind of like the Lorenzen thing. Like, yeah, whatever. Just whatever you need. I'll do it. But it all brings into focus to me as we're talking about the offense, we're talking about the bullpen. Like, what is the bigger need for this team, do we think, in a month from now? I honestly kind of think it's going to be the bullpen. The offense, again, and we touched on this a lot yesterday. If Caglione provides them a little power, and I think that he will, where is the offensive replacement going to come? Like, who are you taking away if you're going to do that? Now that you're seeing the top five hitters in the lineup pretty locked in and all finding a little bit of a groove over the last week or so. So now you're looking at the bottom four. You know, Cags is going to be one of those players. Now you're looking at the bottom three. And that's where there's not much wiggle room there.
They're not moving away from Kyle Isbell. I mean, he gets overlooked all the time. He's pretty much locked in too, I think, in center field.
I think so too. And I think because Cags made a nice defensive play yesterday, but now's not the time to take away a defense first center fielder when you've got a kid out there in right field learning how to play right field on the fly.
It's probably left field. It's probably left field would be the one area, because right now they're splitting time with Canna, who played in left field last night. You've got Drew Waters out there. Nick Lofton can play a little bit of left field. I think that's probably the position, to look at, unless, and this goes back to, we talked about it yesterday with Jeff Passan, unless they try to go like third base and Suarez for the Diamondbacks or something like that, and then they have Michael Garcia go and play the outfield.
Because Garcia can just pop, or India, either one of those guys can pop out there, and that's fine too. But I'm not saying they shouldn't go get another bat. A guy like Suarez makes a ton of sense. I wouldn't give up a ton to get a guy like Suarez, but if they can get him for a lesser deal and just basically pay the money, that's fine. But that still doesn't. Like, do we think that's going to be a bigger need than potentially another high leverage bullpen arm, which they traded for two of those guys last year? And again, it's going to be the same situation where basically everybody in baseball is going to want one, and there aren't going to be very many sellers. So how do you go get one, right? You have to be hyper aggressive there. I think it's going to end up being a bigger need. We'll see. I think we'll have enough time to get Urcig back, see if he's healthy. And if he is, like, Hunter Harvey's an afterthought at this point. Like, he's not going to do. I mean, that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, right? They gave up a ton to get him, and he's just been hurt the whole time. So what happens? I think the bullpen arm might end up being more expensive than the bat, but it also might be a bigger need for this team.
I don't know. I mean, two things. Number one, you can never have enough bullpen arms. So I think that if the Royals decide that they want to prioritize that, get in line, because to your point, like, a lot of teams are going to try to prioritize a bullpen arm, especially those that feel like they're legitimate contenders, and the Royals should still feel like they are legitimate contenders. So get in line, and they were able to make two deals happen for relievers a year ago, so it's not unprecedented. They could do it again. That's number one. But number two is that if you're power ranking the needs, I don't think we're ready yet to make that assessment, because we don't know exactly when Urcig is going to be back. Like you mentioned, I agree with you. Hunter Harvey is an afterthought, but it's also such a small sample size with the lineup with Jack Caglione in it. At this point, we're three games in, we're one series in with the Cags offense. And while, yes, they have scored more than four runs in three straight games, and they've only done it in one other series this season, I don't think we should be jumping to conclusions and rushing to this thought that, okay, the offense is good to go. They don't need to do anything offensively. Like, they need to prioritize a bullpen arm over everything else. The Achilles heel for this team all season long has been their offense, consistent offense. So I think you got to give it a little bit more time. I think you need to see the offense settle in a little bit, you know, at least get through the White Sox series and then, you know, into next week before you can then, I think, make an accurate assessment on what's a bigger priority for the Royals to acquire at the deadline, a bullpen arm or another bat.
Or both. I mean, look,
it could be both. And if you're prioritizing them, where do they stand?
You got to the place I was trying to get to, which is they really need to have, like, they need the time. Now that Cags is called up, that was the urgent situation. I don't think there needs to be urgency behind either one because they need to get a look. Well, honestly, like, I want to see if Quintana and Waters keep going with what they were able to pull off, or are they going to slide? Because that will help us answer that question. And if they start to use some of these other guys who have been really good, but not in high leverage situations, if some of those guys get opportunities in those spots, are they going to take it and run? Does Lorenzen end up as a bullpen piece? Like, all of those things need a little time to work out. I don't think that any of it's going to be, over the next month, such a difference maker that it, like, cost the Royals a playoff spot, whereas the Cags call up might have been one of those kinds of decisions, right? The urgency behind that decision was very needed, necessary. We get it. I don't think that same urgency exists now because they got to look in the mirror a little bit right now to figure it out. And you're probably better served to try to let other teams fall out of the race so that they can become traders if you're going to go looking for players. So Cags, let's talk Cags. Not a great, I don't know. It was, you know, what did he end up with yesterday? He ended up with,
he was 1 for 9, I think.
Three strikeouts, right? Yeah. Or so 3 strikeouts in 2 games. That's not the end of the world. It's okay. But he's striking out more certainly than he probably would have in the minor leagues, which doesn't surprise anybody, but he was 1 for 8 with 3 strikeouts. So hard hit balls are great. He's going to need some of them to come down the line. The double was nice. It was good to get that off his chest. I don't get the sense, though, that there's going to be much pressure on him either, which is good for him. That will be the benefit of everybody else sort of picking it up around him. And it makes me wonder, like, what a weird and kind of cool thing if just the move itself was the lightning rod. Not that he does anything, but just that buzz and that excitement and that energy that was behind that move that you could feel. I mean, we joked about it, but it was real. Like, you could feel it. If that's the thing that did it, then that's going to be good for him too, because there's probably going to be a lot of stretches where he goes 1 for 8 with 3 strikeouts. As he learns, he made a transition that guys just don't make. They don't make it for a reason because it's very difficult to do. I like that they don't have to put any pressure on him right now, but we're going to have to, you know, see it. It was not a good day yesterday.
Well, the only way that, it was a fine day yesterday. It's his second and third game in the major leagues.
No, let's
bump the brakes a little bit here.
If it wasn't his second and third, we're a month from now and he has a doubleheader where he goes 1 for 8 with 3 strikeouts, we're like, ugh.
I think that's why it makes it imperative for the rest of the lineup to come alive with all of this as much as they can, because the only way that pressure becomes overwhelming for a guy like Cags and you see him start to press and all of that is if the other guys are not producing. If they can take some of that weight off of his shoulders, some of that burden off his shoulders, that's going to be the ideal situation for him. And look, here's the thing. I think it was until the third at bat in the first game yesterday. I think it was on his eighth at bat in the bigs, he didn't have a swing and miss at all.
Right. It's crazy.
You know, like his, he had an RBI double in the game, or like he had not up to that point. Every time he swung the bat, he made contact, whether it was a foul ball or he hit it into play. He did not have a swing and miss until midway through the first game yesterday. And so he is seeing the ball. Fantastic. He's making contact even on pitches that, you know, are out of the zone that he's chasing after, which I think is ideal. And I know that he obviously had a couple of strikeouts later on in the day yesterday. But think about this for a second. You have this much hyped debut on Tuesday then you're like going into Wednesday, you're probably thinking, all right, I've got the monkey off my back. The debut is done. That game gets rained out. So your second and third games are crammed into one day. And all of a sudden, like you're pushed into action to play a lot more than in one day than what you had expected. You know, so you get one game under your belt and then you have to wait a long time and then you got to play two back to back. Like that's a tough situation to be in. If there was a number less than zero on my scale of one to 10 to be concerned, it would be below that. Like regardless of how he ended up yesterday, regardless the number of strikeouts, regardless of whatever, I have zero, less than zero concerns for Caglione moving forward.
Yeah, me too. I think that, and this is to the original point, like, but that's because the rest of the team picked him up. What can't happen is
Not because of it. It's because he's going to be fine.
That's not what I mean. Like if let's say we go, we're down the road a little bit, the offense is still just in this horrible place where they can't score any runs and Cags is going 1-for-8. People are going to be like, well, I wonder if that was the right decision to bring him up. Right. They're hopefully not going to have to get to that point. He's going to have to work through it at the big league level.
He's played three games.
Yeah, there will be stretches like this. I'm like, for people out there that think he's going to come up and just do what he did in AAA, the chances of that happening were so low. But that, the impact of his call up is, I think, pretty tangible for the team. There was excitement with it, and it can be a jolt. Those jolts can come from anywhere. And I just don't want anybody to ever second guess the decision because it's the right decision, regardless of what he does. It was the right decision.
Is anybody second guessing the decision? I'm not sure anybody is second guessing.
No, yeah. Of course they're not three games in, but they might if we go down this road and he does and he's not, you know, hitting a bunch of home runs or it takes him a long time to hit the first run, home run, people are like, well, did they need to? Yes, they needed to call him up. No matter what he does, they needed to call him up because it was a message. It was the energy. Did you see the play he made in right field?
I did. It was great.
I think it was. I didn't see the path he took, you know, off the jump or anything like that because the replay wasn't there fast enough. But that was a good sign, I thought. I think he's going to be fine out there. They've handled that. They've handled that really well. I think they've handled his situation just about perfect.
Did you see? I think the one person that's been highly negative about all of this is David Sampson. Did you see? He's a former general manager in the bigs.
No.
He was, I think it was either a podcast or a radio show, one of the two. And he called the Caglione call up like one of the most, I think he called it one of the most embarrassing moves he's ever seen. It was all about the service time, right? Like he was so negative about the Royals making that call. David Sampson, said he's not a fan. Oh, this is what he said. What Kansas City has done is the single most irresponsible move I've seen in quite a long time. In regards to calling up Caglione.
That's a really fascinating take and discussion. We'll get into that in the next hour as well. But we got to talk Pacers Thunder game one here, Tommy. Pacers take it 111-110. And it was, Tyrese Halliburton again with a big shot late. You know, in a game. Oh, go ahead, Max. Max has something for us. Gonna have to help Max. Just called Halliburton or something.
Indiana loves me. Is that what it's called, Max?
Indiana wants me. Punks.
I don't know that song.
We weren't Indiana even born.
Max, we're music aficionados. Like we love music. We know a lot of music. I have never heard of the song "Indiana Loves Me."
Wants me.
Wants.
You got to go. I just looked it up. You got to go all the way back to 1970. By Canadian singer-songrwriter R. Dean Taylor.
On Rare Earth Records.
You don't know R. Dean Taylor, Jacob?
I don't know R. Dean. I know Jimmy Dean.
Yeah.
He's ate his sausages.
I know today. James Taylor. I don't know Richard Dean Taylor from Toronto.
Yeah, that's a stretch, Max. But hey, look, Oklahoma doesn't want Indiana.
All I could play
because
was
Tyrese Halliburton their heart.
It did go to number one back in 1970.
I could have played.
Well, okay. Well, if it got to number one and we don't know it, that's probably on us. But I feel like we know most of those songs, generally speaking. But don't know that one. Never heard it before. Maybe Indiana. I just don't feel like that's going to be like a song of, a hype song blaring at the Pacers Arena.
That's not the one. That's not the one to get the fans all jacked up for the game.
Well, Mellencamp's from Indiana, but I don't think they'll play Scarecrow or Jack and Diane.
We might play Jack and Diane.
Like, what's it? What's a guy from Toronto doing writing a song about Indiana anyway in the '70s?
Couldn't tell you.
Maybe it's a woman named Indiana. How about that? All right. So Shea Gilgeous-Alexander was fantastic in the game. I shot almost 50%, 38 points, kind of did his thing a little bit, but it wasn't enough. And what was the lead? Was it 14-point lead? I believe.
Yes. It was a 13-point lead.
15. Yeah. Man, is it a blown lead anymore though with the Pacers? This is kind of their thing. Like, are they blown leads or is it just, can you hold off a Pacers late run? This is what we need. This is what this series needed for me. Give me a little bit of that. Okay. All right. Like, do you take more from the fact that they were down 15 with 9 minutes left or that they came back to win? At this point, it's that they came back to win because they keep doing it. Like, this has been an all-time heater for Tyrese Halliburton for sure. And it's strange because he's almost never their leading scorer. It doesn't feel like. But he's always the guy, right? It's not like I've heard Jordan and LeBron like playoff run comparisons. Like those guys are so clearly the offensive guys on those teams. Halliburton's not that. Like he's a great player and he does so many different things. But he just, even on these nights where he had, what did he have last night? 14, I think, 13, where he just steps up and takes a big shot and he hits it. It's been crazy. It's been fun to see, but it's what the series needed. I know Thunder fans don't want to hear that. I'm not like overly concerned about the Thunder in the series, although I think it was yesterday after the game that you can get them to win the series by two games now at even money. It was very popular. All the bettors were very like kind of on that little line. And I think that's risky. I think we're looking at a good long series here. I hope, but that was a fun. Well, that's a fun game one. Could you ask for any more? Do you care about the size of the market? Can you see if it's like that? Like,
yeah, I'm going to give you a hot takey response here. This is the kind of result in game one that can be an absolute backbreaker for the Thunder because they did everything that they wanted to do in that game. Their defense was phenomenal. I've talked about that at length multiple times about how that's their hallmark. They forced the Pacers into 19 first half turnovers. They were phenomenal. They were smothering. They were suffocating. Like whatever adjective you want to use to describe the Thunder defensively, they did it early in that game. They built a 15-point lead with 9 minutes left to go in the ball game, and then here come the Pacers, and they're just able to overcome. The reason why I say this is the sort of thing that can be a backbreaker for any team, not just Oklahoma City, but for any team, the Pacers led that game for less than 1 second. It was the last shot that won the game for them. The Thunder for the entire game, except for the final 0.3 seconds, led in that game, and they walk away with the loss. That can be a demoralizing situation for you at home when you feel like you have that game in hand. Your fans are there. You're ready to go. You feel like this should be your finals to win. And then that sort of thing happens. That can be really difficult to come back from.
I take it the other way. I think you just look at it and say, boy, we had that thing, and we really had to blow it there for that to not go our way. That's kind of how I look at it. And the reason for it, and you have to like, you're guessing at a team's like, in, intestinal fortitude for stuff like that. The thing for me with the Thunder, though, is we have this postseason in the Denver series. They lost the first game. They felt like they could have won it. They lose it by two. Then they come back and lose game three in overtime to go down 2-1 in that series. And then things settle in, of course, for them later in that series. So I think we've seen it with this team where they're fine. Like, I don't think they're going to overreact or get down. And so I don't worry too much about that because I think the message in the locker room is easy. Like, guys, we should have won that game. You all know we should have won that game. You blew it. Don't blow another one. It's not like I don't know
that's
how much.
That's easier
now.
Said than done when you're playing the Pacers. Like, because so this is the third consecutive series that the Pacers have authored a comeback to win game one of the series, like the third straight series they've done this, it becomes inevitable when you're playing them.
And I'm not saying the Thunder are in it. I'm not saying like it's a lock that they win the series. I'm just saying they're equipped to not let that be the reason things unravel on them. The Pacers may win the series because the Pacers are the better team. That's totally on the table. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I don't think like all of a sudden the Thunder are shook where they just can't recover from blowing a fourth-quarter lead.
I hope not, because, you know, going into the game yesterday, I've said it multiple times. I think you and I were both on the same page. It's the Thunder series. Like I still think
it is.
The Thunder were, I think they're the better team. I think they've got better defense. I think all these different things. I felt like they were going to, I don't know if roll is the right word, but I thought Thunder in six, and that's going to be highly difficult for them to accomplish at this point. I'm concerned about the way that this team bounces back from what happened last night. The other reason is because for how talented the Thunder are, and they really are, and they're well-coached and all these different things, they are young. And, you know, is this group as battle-tested as they need to be able to bounce back from a heartbreaking loss last night like what we saw? That can be really, really, really hard to come back from. Even for the most veteran teams that have been through things before, you've got a young core, a young nucleus of this team. Are they equipped to come back from something like this? I hope so. But it's highly disappointing. And honestly, like, pretty embarrassing, I think, for the Thunder to blow that kind of lead when you felt like you had that game in hand and Indiana just does it again. They're clutch. And you should know that going in. Like, you should know, even up 15 with 9 minutes left in the game, all right, who are we playing? We're playing the Pacers. They're built to come back. This is what they do. We have to do everything in our power to make sure that doesn't happen. And they weren't able to accomplish that.
Yeah, I the only thing I'll disagree with you there is I think the Thunder are like the better team, but I don't know that for sure. I'm not locked in enough to make that like the Thunder are the best. I think the Thunder are the better team, but I'm so willing to be wrong about that because I just haven't watched enough of, you know, of these teams to have a real good grasp of that. I think the Pacers, the one thing they've shown for me is that they may very well be the better team. Like they've done this over and over and over again in this postseason where everyone's like, oh man, they just keep doing it. But that's a part of who they are. Like that's a part of what makes them the team they are. I still think the Thunder are going to win this series. I like the roster better, but that's just, I just know it better. Like, so I'm okay with, I mean, Halliburton's a rock star and I love Siakam and like, And I'm a huge, we've talked about this, huge Rick Carlisle fan. I think he's one of the best coaches ever in the NBA. He's so good at what he does. Always has been. He's the perfect coach for this team. And we'll see if they're the better team, because if they can win four games against the Thunder, they're going to be the better team. It's not that, to me, it's not, I guess the point is, it's not that the Thunder will have blown it. It's that the Pacers were just the better team right now. There are finals where you could say, oh yeah, they blew it, right? Like I used the example, you know, the other day of the 76ers Lakers final. The Lakers lost that series. Yeah, they blew it. They were the better team. But this, I don't know that I'm ready to say this. And it might be, you might be right. I just don't know. I'm not sure. But I'm glad that we got that kind of game in game one. Because, man, now it's like, all right, buckle up. This might be a really, really fun series, which is all I really care about. And I want the Thunder to win for all the great Thunder fans out there. I really do. I do.
You know, and now all of a sudden you can add Oklahoma City to the list of other teams that have encountered a Pacers comeback in the final minutes of a game, like in the playoffs.
That's their thing.
Milwaukee, Cleveland, the Knicks. It's happened.
What they do.
That's what they do.
What a cool identity.
Oh, my God. And so, I mean, can you imagine being on a team where you know even when you're down double digits with a few minutes left that, hey, we're not out of it. Like, just keep doing what we do. Like, this is kind of our identity. It's our hallmark. And then imagine being the team on the other side where you're like, man, it's impossible to put this team away. They find ways, you know, to make it happen. And honestly, for the Pacers, it was their defense down the stretch. They limited what the Thunder could do as far as scoring is concerned. It wasn't just, you're going to see the highlights of the clutch shots from Halliburton. And those are all fair and amazing and all of that. He's done it multiple times. But really, it was how smothering Indiana's defense was down the stretch. They did what Oklahoma City does to opponents all the time, but Indiana did it when it mattered most. And again, I mean, I hope that Oklahoma City can bounce back. I hope that they don't, you know, just feel completely beaten down after they let one get away and slip through their fingertips. I hope so. But man, when you're playing a team like Indiana and that's what they do, I was shocked that that happened last night.
I was too. I did not see that coming as I was checking in and out of the game and bouncing around to a couple of different things. Certainly did not. All right. Let's take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We got a lot to get to. The Aaron Rodgers news. We're going to dig into what one critic of the Caglione call-up is saying. It's all coming for you on this Friday. Stick around. More Sports Daily on the other side.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.